This is Scott Parker, servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and all over the world via the internet. I want to welcome you to my podcast. Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right. Well, thank God we're ready to get started. I'm going to be speaking on the abundance of life that the Lord has for us. If you would turn to John 10:10, let's get started there. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. You know, people read that and they think, well, that's talking about the devil coming after you, and that's talking about the thief. You know, the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's quoted that way many times, and that the Lord came to give us life and life more abundantly. And this is true, but this is talking about two different ministers, and we're going to get to that in a minute. Let's look at the same scripture in the New Living Translation. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose to give them a rich and satisfying life. Complete Jewish Bible. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come so that they might have life and life to its fullest measure. So God wants us to have an abundant life, a satisfying life. God wants us to live life to the fullest. Do you believe this? Do you believe the writings of the Bible? If you do, then you know this is available to you and me. Now, like I said about John 10:10, talking about two different ministers, if you read this in context, you'll see that. And go back to verse 1 and put all this together, and you'll understand this parable that the Lord's talking about, that it is two different ministers. One goes into the sheepfold or goes into the ministry through the door, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other just goes into the ministry on his own. Let's look at that. Go back to verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Would the Lord say that about ministers standing behind a pulpit? Yes, he would. The minister that goes through the door is a person who has been prepared by God, and they're put in the ministry. It is Christ in them ministering to the people. The person who climbs up some other way to get into the sheepfold or the ministry, that person, the Lord didn't put them in the ministry. And the Lord called them a thief and a robber. Let's read on. John 10:1 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, same as a thief and a robber. Now, the next verse throws people off. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So people think the shepherd here is the Lord. You know, and the Lord, this is a parable, the Lord speaks in parable, and he only opens it up to his disciples. Or if you're listening to someone that's got the revelation. And now you may be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you still don't know some of these parables, but if you lay down your life for Christ's sake in the gospel, you'll get them. You know, I was teaching at a hotel in Missouri and years back, and I said, the shepherd in this scripture is a person who the Lord puts in the ministry. And this man said to me, Jesus is the shepherd. And I said to him, I said, no, Jesus is the Lord. Let's read that. John 10:7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So Jesus is the door. Now let's read verse 1 again and you'll understand it better. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door, which is Jesus, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. So this person in verse 2 who entered by the door is a person who the Lord Jesus Christ put in the ministry. And a person who the Lord put in the ministry has been crucified with Christ, at least to one degree or another. There has to be a preparation. God doesn't take a person just receive Christ and stick them in the ministry. They gotta walk with the Lord some. They've got to be crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ some. And then the Lord will put them in the ministry. They don't have to be full grown to go in the ministry. They'll do some growing as they're in the ministry. And these people can bring you the Lord working through them into an abundant life. Okay? So it really matters who's ministering to you. You'll want to know, is it the Lord or is it the wrong spirit? You know, and a person who's climbed up another way, like I said, the Lord didn't put them in the spirit. They're not prepared for the master's use, and they're described as a thief and a robber. So there's some thieves and robbers in the pulpits of America and all over the world for that matter. Now, hear these words. A person could go into the ministry who received the Spirit of Christ and be baptized in the Spirit, yet they're still not crucified with Christ, where Christ lives through them. They don't yet know the ways of God, and they can minister death to you, steal from you, and work destruction in life. So, you know, there'll be people that read this, and they know they've received the Lord, and say, well, I'm not a thief and a robber. What if the Lord didn't put you in the ministry? You are. Okay? Now, let's look at some people and see if you fit into the category as being a thief and a robber, or one that ministers death. Matthew 23:15, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. That's not very good, is it? Here, these scribes and Pharisees are called children of hell, and the people they minister to become children of hell. Now, of course, the scribes and Pharisees, or many of them, wouldn't come to the Lord and receive him. So, of course, they were children of hell, and that's where they ended up going. Now, some you can find in the New Testament, some of the scribes and the Pharisees did believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Now, there are ministers who are saved, and they'll go to be with the Lord when they die, you know, if they did what was right the side of the Lord, or they did the best they could. They endeavored to walk in the faith, keep the words of God, but they were never prepared under the master's use to bring people into the abundant life. God didn't put them in the ministry. You know, preachers who teach the Ten Commandments bring for fruit unto death. And they need to get their eyes opened that the law of Moses activates sin in people. The law of Moses arouses sin in people. And, you know, I'm amazed that these things are written on a fifth grade level in the New Testament, but yet I have to step back and say, you know why? They can't see it. They're blind. But let's see if we can open your eyes. Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Dead to the law. That you should be married to another. Wow. You're joined to the law, but you should be dead to the law so you can be joined to another, or be married to another. Some translations say be joined to another. Even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Say, being joined to the Lord so we can bring forth fruit unto God. You have to become dead to the law to be married or joined to the Lord to bring forth good fruit. If you try to be righteous by the law, look at the fruit that will be produced in your heart and to those that you minister to. Verse 5, for when they were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. The motions of sin, what activates sin, what move causes sin to come alive, it was by the law. It's by the law. And you say, you shouldn't tell other ministers, Christians, they're wrong. Well, Jesus did, Paul did, Peter did. How else are you going to, are they going to know to come out from underneath the law of Moses? You know, in the new covenant, we live righteously by faith. We overcome sin by faith. We do righteousness by faith. You know, now anybody can do certain things that they know are right to do. You know, just do it. I mean, let's not be super spiritual. But when you understand the slavery of sin, and you know the only way to overcome the bondage of sin is through faith, and the new man that has a righteous nature is formed in you as you're walking in obedience to faith, then you begin to understand that righteousness is by faith, not just a bunch of meaningless words. You know, people say, well, you know, I'm righteous by faith. Okay, we don't just take it by faith. We live righteous by faith because that's the only way we can overcome, come out of the slavery of sin. That's the only way that righteousness is formed within us, and then we get where we more consistently live righteous. And I want to say something to people that, and I understand where these people are coming from, but they say, well, you know, we can never overcome sin. We just, you know, we're saved by grace and we just live in sin and we go obedient to the Lord. Well, I know there's some people that don't ever get very far out of bondage. I've seen that. I know that. I understand that. But that's not what the Word of God teaches. Okay? That they have to stay in that. Now, some of them, because they're so bound, and it's very difficult to bring them very far out of bondage. But it is available. Okay? You can come out. You can be delivered from the body of death. You can be delivered from the hold of evil spirits. You can go on to perfection. Okay. And if you want to walk in the abundant life the Lord's provided for us, we're going to have to be made righteous and be turned from our iniquities. Okay. See, the Lord came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. But it's not just giving you all these things. You have to be turned from your iniquities. Look at this, Jeremiah 5:25. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things for you. So God wants you to live a full life, an abundant life, but you have to overcome sin to get it. Okay? You can have money, and you can be in good health and still not be happy because of sin. And now, remember this, because you don't gauge where you're walking by how you feel. You know, it says in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Okay? You know, just because you're having trouble with this or that and you're not enjoying everything doesn't mean you're unrighteous. You'll have to walk through some of these things. If you're righteous, you're going to be afflicted of the devil. All that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The devil's coming after you. He's going to pound on you. The difference is if you're walking after the Spirit, you'll be in the process of overcoming sin. And you'll be getting grace from God, and you'll be able to overcome the devil. Okay? You can overcome him. And he won't be able to just keep tormenting you in one area forever. You'll overcome him. Like, see, I've experienced where he used to torment me with fear, and I overcame that to a degree. I don't have much trouble with that. He used to torment me with guilt. I don't have much trouble with that anymore. He used to get me in despair. He can't get me there anymore. These are different areas I've overcome the devil in. He used to bind up my money, and I've overcome that. My money's doing fairly well. Not as well as I'd like it to, but I'm doing okay. So you don't go by just because you're getting hit. If you walk with God, the devil's after you. You know, it says persecution and affliction come up because of the word's sake. So there's another example. If you're going after the Word of God, putting it in your heart, you're holding fast to the Word of God, you're endeavoring to walk in this, you're going to have some, you know, hard days. It even talks about standing against the devil, doing all you can do to stand in the evil day. And the evil day is when the devil's coming after you. Okay? So you can be applying yourself to walk uprightly and be getting sick at times or feeling bad or going through emotional pain. You don't use your feelings to gauge if you're obeying God. You look at the Word of God. You got to get revelation. I'm going to tell you something. The more you get established in the Word, the more you know what it says and have understanding, the more you'll be established in the faith and not be moved by afflictions. You won't be going, oh, what did I do wrong? You'll just look and you'll say, you'll consider. I mean, you don't want to be prideful. You don't want to be stubborn. Because I watch people sometimes if they would just let God correct them, they could come out of some of what they're going through. So you do have to consider it. But if you're looking at if you know what the Word says, you say, well, no, I'm walking in the Word of God. I don't know of anywhere I'm disobeying God. And if I am, God will show me and he'll get me right back on path. Or you may need to ask God, say, Lord, is there something I'm missing you on? But you don't get in fear about it, because God will correct you if you're wrong. Okay. Romans 7 verse 5, let's read that in the English Standard Verse. Likewise, my brothers, ye also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that ye may belong to another, to him. You see that it says, so that ye may belong to another. So you have to die to the law to belong to Christ. You died to the law through the body, that ye may belong to another. So I'm telling you, you get your eyes open and you'll start to see everywhere you look about how we're not to live by the law of Moses. Do we live in sin? No. We overcome sin by faith. We overcome the devil by faith. Okay? To him, okay. Likewise, my brothers, ye also have died to the law through the body of Christ, that ye may belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that you belong to Christ, in order that you may bear fruit unto God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by what? By the law. Go read it yourself. I didn't write this. Aroused by the law. We're at work in our members to bear fruit for death. I heard a governor in where was that? I don't want to say his name. But it was a governor. I know two governors that talk about how we need to keep the law of Moses. I don't know if they've been corrected about that yet, but they need to be. You know, God put the law in to give us the knowledge of sin to bring us to Christ. Then we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Okay? It's a schoolmaster that brings Christ. We're no longer. And you know what? We don't get rid of sin in us by the law of Moses, nor is the new man formed in us by trying to keep the law of Moses. We get rid of sin in us by grace through faith. And the law of Moses is not faith. The law of Moses is an administration of death and condemnation. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7 and verse 9. Now think about that. The law of Moses ministers death to you. It ministers condemnation to you. And people, see, we were talking about the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and the Lord said, I've come that you might have life. Well, that one minister that climbed up some other way, don't tell me for 1 minute that the Lord put them in the ministry if they're teaching the law of Moses. Okay? If he did put them in the law, if he did put them in the ministry, he would have delivered them from that. And, I almost want to back up because I know a man in the ministry that had faith and power, but he also still had the law of Moses. But he did have faith and power. So, I don't know, maybe I need to backtrack on that. But I'm going to leave it at that. The law is still wrong. It is still wrong. It's not God. It ministers death and condemnation to you. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the law of Moses is strength of sin. Strengthening sin in people. And that may be this man I'm thinking of. I don't want to say his name, but he did some works. He did some miracles. He cast out some devils. Maybe that's why he didn't go further in the ministry than that. Now, you people that teach the Ten Commandments, after you read some of these things, that'll make you consider what you're preaching. And those of you listening to him, you ought to consider what you're listening to. And these ministers that teach the Ten Commandments think, they think I'm blind. Well, the words I've been reading to you, written on a fifth grade level, they're the ones that are blind. They're bound to religious tradition, and they need to get their eyes open. The Word of God says the whole world is under sin and under the law of Moses, and that's why it's so important to see you need to be delivered from sin and the law of Moses to come into the blessings of God. Look at Romans 7:6. But now we are delivered from the law. Now, if we're supposed to be keeping the law, why does it say here we're delivered from the law? That being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. The Word of God says we need to be delivered from the law of us so we can serve in newness of spirit. In other words, you're not going to walk in the spirit or very much until you get delivered from the law. Yet you have ministers to this very day teaching you to be righteous by the law. Now, let's set aside John 10:10 that is talking about two different ministers, which it is, but let's go to look at who's ministering through them. It's the Lord ministering through one he put into the sheepfold, one that came through the door, came through Jesus, then Jesus, and Jesus is the shepherd. There is only one shepherd, and it's Jesus ministering through them. I'm just telling you that scripture right there where it said the shepherd comes in, that is the one the Lord put in the mission. And the Lord, working through that person, is leading people's lives into an abundance. And the devil, ministering through a person that climbed up some other way, he's leading people's lives in destruction. But the Lord wants to bring you an abundance life, a full life. The devil wants to destroy you. Okay? You know, and when it said those scribes and Pharisees made them two times a child of hell, does that sound like he's destroying their lives? And you know, you see in Matthew 7, it talks about beware of false prophets. And then it talks about the fruit they bear. It's not good. They don't obey God. And, okay, well, let's go on. And you know, have any of you ever heard the saying, the man who dies with the most stuff wins? But did you know the Bible teaches that covetousness will cause you to err from the faith? So, see, you hear these things out in the world, but you better always look to what the Word of God says. Not hold on to that stuff. Because people get that stuff in their heart and they think, oh, yeah, that's what, I'm a success. Look at all the money I got. No, that don't make you a success. People just think getting as much as they can. Success. No, let me prove this to you. Look at 1 Timothy 6:9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, who is leading people to love money, to covet money, and make that the goal of their life? Well, there's ministers that are the thieves and the robbers, and it's the devil operating through them. I knew this one ministry, they went off, and they started their ministry was changed to success in life, and all they did was talk about money. And that caused people just to go after money, not God. It causes destruction of people's life. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with money. We all need it. And, you know, poverty is horrible. So I'm not teaching you to be poor or lack. Ask anyone who's lived there. You know, 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And this is talking about money. Jesus did not become spiritually, or he would have never been able to endure the death of the cross. So it says, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. There's some people say, oh, that's talking about he was rich spiritually and then he became poor for us so we could be rich spiritually. No, he couldn't have gone through the cross if he hadn't been strong in faith in the Spirit. Okay? That was when he was going to the cross. He laid all that down. He became poor. He was rich financially. He had a house that many publicans and sinners, he could invite him in. And he was a carpenter, so he probably built him a pretty nice house. But one thing we know was he had many publicans and sinners. You know, when he said, you know, I think I forgot which disciple it was. He said, where dwelleth thou, Jesus? And Jesus said, come and see. Well, he came and took him to his house. What do you think? He took him to some cave he lived in? No, he was a carpenter. You know, some of this stuff you just got to kind of figure out. It's pretty simple. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break here. Let's do Wings of a Dove by Pamela Pontia.
When trouble surrounds us, when evil comes, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. When things beset us, God doesn't forget us. He sends down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Jesus went down to the water that day, he was baptized in the usual way. And when it was done, God blessed his son. He sent down his love on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a snow white dove. He sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove, on the a snow white dove. He sends his pure sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. A sign from above, on the wings of a dove.
You know, if ministers would preach, teach the whole counsel of God, it would eliminate a lot of error being taught. You know, like I could take scriptures and just talk about the warnings of covetousness and greed and make you think it's wrong to have money or very much money or just barely get by. Or I could go on the flip side of that, teach you to be poor. You know, I could, Well, if I went on the flip side and I took a bunch of scriptures teaching you, well, just be content with food and clothing, or how the poor man in Abraham's bosom went to be with the Lord, and other scriptures like that make you think it's godly to just have enough money to barely get by. But if I take the whole counsel of God, you'll come to see that God made us rich and he wants to purify our hearts where we love him more than money and walk in his spirit and have an abundance of life. You know, Abraham was the father of faith. And he was rich in gold, silver, and cattle. So don't ever come to me and tell me it's wrong to have money and to be rich. No, it isn't. And we're to walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham. Now, when I quoted you those scriptures about people, about falling to hurtful lust, that's talking about people that covet money, okay, that make money their God. You know, I was talking to this one lady who said that you got to get all you can get. You know, she was covetous. You could tell that was her philosophy and lie. That's what she was sharing with me. She said some other words. I can't remember, Ma. But she was sharing with me that was her philosophy in life, to get all you can get. And, you know, this woman was married. And I could discern she wanted to have an affair with me. And I thought, I didn't think this at the time. I'm thinking now. I thought, you're headed for trouble, lady. And I thought, you're yielding the devil. And he, you know, I knew. I said, there ain't no way I'm getting in any relationship with you, because I knew what the devil would do to me. And people think, they think that's an abundant life. They think that's a full life. Get all you can get. Go, you know, go find out what it's like. Enjoy life to the fullest. Go have an affair. Go do this. You got to experience this. You got to go experience that. No, I wouldn't ever recommend anyone go get into, when you yield to sin, you yield to the devil. And I'm going to tell you something. There's some people that yield to some of these things and they never come out of bondage. Look, if you've done this, God will forgive you and he can set you free. But I'm going to tell you, there's a danger in yielding to sin. And it's a lot easier to go into bondage than it is to get back out. You're so much better if you avoid this stuff. I'm serious. You know, people, oh, you're just saying that, trying to keep us from having fun. You will get enslaved by a devil. Adulterers get enslaved by demons. People that get involved in all kinds of sin get involved in all kinds of demons. And it's not easy to get back out. Okay. Let's see. So if you want to have the full life that the Lord wants for you, you want to have a satisfying life, follow his ways. Okay. See, so when you read that the Lord came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, he wasn't talking about giving you all this stuff and you having help and you running around doing all these things in life you want. He's talking about giving you a full life, but walking in his ways. See, we already shared with you that your iniquities turn away good things. Covetousness will turn away good things. If you just run around and do your own thing, you're not going to get the abundant life. You know, Luke 9:23, let's read that. This is the Lord talking. He said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross daily, follow me. Now, who would believe denying themselves and taking up the cross is the way into abundant life? But it is. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. Now, these scriptures will take on a whole new light when you begin to see that as you deny yourself, as and this crucifying the flesh is using your faith to put to death the sin in you by mixing your faith with the gospel. Okay? And as you put it to death and you get to where you can move in the spirit, you're coming into the abundant life God has for you. All these scriptures take a whole new light when you begin to see that God wants to bring you into an abundance of life. He's not leading you to lay down your life, live the crucified life so you can just be miserable and you're just waiting someday to get to heaven so you can be happy in heaven. No, God wants to bring us into the land. Okay? Part of crucifying the flesh is you don't run around and do, you know, it's not just putting to death the sin in you, but it's also you deny yourself. You don't run around and do everything you want to do or buy everything you want. People need to grow up where they can know when it's right and when it's not. Okay. So, you know, you say, well, I want to go into perfection. Okay. So don't get all caught up in, should I do this or should I not do this? Because I did that and I kind of backed away from talking about repentance from dead works for a while because I said, Lord, I've got to teach this in faith. Okay. And so what I would recommend is, start taking more and more time to read the word out loud. Those are prayers. Reading the word of God out loud are prayers and develop your prayer life. And then ask God the grace to know when it's right to buy things, when it's not. And if you're not sure, then just don't run around buying everything. Just try to be as sensitive to the Lord as you can. Do everything you can to be led by the Spirit, but don't sit around and just say, well, I'm just not going to ever buy anything because you get into bondage that way. Okay, so like I said, reading the Word of God out loud are prayers, and then being a doer of the Word, reading the Word of God out loud, praying, and being a doer of the Word will cause you to grow up. And then you can begin to not only put the depth of sin in you, but you can begin to know more how to lay down your own desires your own way. And you have to do this to follow Jesus. But like I said, this is coming into the abundant life. Now let's read Galatians 5:24, and then I'll read it with 25. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. The word affections is emotions. You put to death the emotions and the lust, the desires. Well, how do you do that? Well, that was the old man that was crucified with Christ. When you're baptized in water, then you begin, you get baptized in water. Then you got to realize, get to understand the revelation. Wow, when I went down under that water, the old man of rebellion was crucified. The old man, emotional old man that gets angry was crucified. The old man that has a temper and yells at my spouse was crucified with Jesus. The old man that lusts after other women was crucified with Jesus. The old man that is prideful was crucified with Jesus. The old man that thinks he's better than somebody else was crucified with Jesus. The old man that is a racist was crucified with Jesus. The old man that's hateful was crucified with Jesus. All of these sinful, and I could go on and on and on, but all these sinful characteristics and traits, this sin that entered into man was crucified with Jesus. And water baptism was the way that you receive being crucified with Jesus. Now, you don't just come out of the water and it's all gone. Then you keep believing. You get a revelation and you understand, okay, this has been dealt with. Now believe the gospel. Now you continue on in that chapter. It says, reckoning dead. So you're still using your faith. See, this is dealing with sin by faith. This is overcoming sin with your faith. So you reckoning dead. That's believing. That's believing what happened on the cross. And then later in the epistles, it says, put him off. See, like, one of the Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not bear false witness, don't lie. And then you read one of the epistles, it says, put off the old man of lying. See, that's putting him off. Don't yield to lying the best you can if you're bound up with it. See, some people are so bound by it, they can't even stop from it. And if you're bound up with it, you got to keep reckoning him dead and keep at least laboring to put him off. You'll overcome it. Okay, so they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Now, why is it saying that? as you put to death the old man, you will start to walk in the Spirit more and more. It's so glorious when you're just praying, all of a sudden the Spirit starts working in you and you're led by the Spirit to do something. You go, oh my God, I'm being led by the Spirit like the Lord Jesus Christ was. Yeah. Yeah, you can do this. You can be led around by the Spirit just like Jesus was by doing what I just said, mixing faith with the gospel that the old you was crucified with Christ. Every bad thing you see about yourself was put to death on the cross, and you receive that. Now look at that. Jesus did that for everybody. Why are these people all walking around with all these sinful characteristics and traits operate through them? Because they haven't received the salvation of God. They have to receive Jesus, believe he died, was buried, and rose from again. Then the next thing it says is be baptized in water. Then you get baptized in water. Then you start believing all the bad things about you were crucified with Christ. You know, you see this in the political arena. They're all pointing fingers at one another. I thought, okay, you point the finger at this person because he says some remark. Maybe it's a racist remark. I'll just use that. Say it's a racist remark. Well, you could have racism in your heart and know it's wrong and want to treat other races. And by the way, there's black people that are racist. There's Mexican people that are racist, not just white people. So let's knock this stuff off about, you know, always, and Democrats are bad about that. They're always trying to say every Republican's a racist. Well, that's stupid. That's a prejudice statement right there. But anyway, you could have racism in you and know it's wrong, and you can get rid of that. And you can see it in somebody else. That doesn't mean that they are agreeing that it's right. It could just come out of their heart and they could make a statement and make some racist statement, but they could know it's not right to treat other races wrong, and they wouldn't do that to other people, but they're always pointing a finger at one another. Okay? And you know, there's men that have never committed adultery, but they got adultery in their heart, and they could look over at a woman and lust after her, or may say, make some remark. It could come out of their heart. I'm not excusing this stuff. It's wrong, but sin is in all of us, and it operates through all of us, and I wouldn't be judging other people. That's why Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. You know what we need to do? We need to believe the gospel. We need to get baptized in water. And now, if you've already been baptized in water, you don't need to go do it again. Start believing what happened to you. Start saying, you know what? When I was baptized, it may have been a long time ago, I was crucified with Christ. And then start believing that. Start reckoning him dead, and you can put him to death and overcome this stuff. Okay, I've talked about that enough. Now, let's look at crucified with Christ again in another scripture. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. When? I was baptized in water. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. Now, there are some Christians who think this is automatic. You know, Christ living through them. I received Jesus, he lived through me. But that's after you receive the Lord, he lives through you, but you have to be crucified with him. Now, the scripture will begin to bring more light, you'll begin to understand it more. I'm crucified with Christ, but you have to be, and Christ liveth in me, but you have to believe what happened to you through water baptism and begin to put to death the old man. And then the more you put to death the old man, the more Christ will live through you and the more you'll live by the faith of the Son of God. Okay? You don't just receive Jesus and he's living through you. This is why you got a lot of Christians that have received the Lord Jesus Christ. But they walk in sin. They walk in the flesh because they have not put it to death yet. And that's why you don't see the Lord Jesus Christ operating through them. And you don't see him led by the Spirit. See, one of the ways you can overcome, tell you're overcoming the sin of the flesh, you'll catch yourself being led by the Spirit more and Christ will be operating through you more. Okay? See, that's why there's a lack of faith in the church. There's too much sin in the flesh and operate. There's too much sin in all of us for Christ to live through us. And too much sin is for the Spirit of God to move. Okay, so the abundant life that God wants to bring us into is walking in the Spirit. And the way to get there is deny ourselves, take up the cross, follow the Lord. All right, now I gave you some simple instructions how to get there. Now, look at the devil operating through a minister who the Lord didn't put in the ministry. Or it could apply to a minister who the Lord put in the ministry, but they went astray. This is some bad stuff here. Look at this, 2 Peter 2:15, which have forsaken the right way. And these are actually people that went astray and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now skip down to verse 18. For they mouth empty boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh. This is how they're ministering to people. Now, this is how the devil operates, folks. The devil plays on the flesh. He plays on the lust of the flesh. And this talk about a minister appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh. That's surely the devil operating through them. They entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. In other words, people that are coming out of bondage, they bring them right back into bondage. So the spirits in these ministers, evil spirits, play on the lust in the people, and it's appealing to the lust, to the people's flesh. And, you know, there's some short-term happiness, but it brings destruction. All right? And there's a lot of ministers who are being destroyed by going after money. And they've used the gospel as a marketing tool to get rich. Jesus ran them out of the temple for that. Okay, let's go to verse 19. They promised them freedom. So these ministers are promising these other people freedom. Why? They themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatsoever has mastered them. See, sin ruled over them and got the mastery over them. So I believe, and I've learned as you put more and more of the Word of God together, you'll come to this conclusion that, and I believe this, that coming into the abundant life is when you come into the land. And just as God led the children of Israel through the wilderness, you'll have to go through the wilderness. And as you're going through the wilderness, you'll be humbled. You'll be corrected. You'll be brought under God's authority. And like I said, as you're set free from sin, as you overcome the devil, you get to where you can walk in faith and in spirit. And then God will be bringing you into the blessings, like he brought the children of Israel into the promised land. And this is not just a place of an abundance of money, but divine health also, and joy and victory, ruling in this life, and walking in the power of God. See, you know, we need to get our minds renewed that God wants his people to walk in the power. You know, it doesn't even matter if you're put in the ministry or you're going to get, you know, hold meetings and you know, bring people up, pray for them and all stuff. God wants housewives. He wants business people. He wants people in every walk of life in the body of Christ walking in the power of God. It's available to all those. You know, now we're going to have to pay a price to get this power working in us. Look at Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, the kingdom is power. God is not going to put you in charge of his kingdom in the millennium. See, that's not what this is talking about. But it's his good pleasure to work his power through you. See, that's what it's talking about. Ephesians, let's look at that. This is another scripture saying the same thing. Ephesians 1, verse 19, complete Jewish Bible. And how surpassingly great is his power working in us who trust him. It works with the same mighty strength he used when he worked in the Messiah to raise him from the dead and seat him at his right hand in heaven. That's the Father working the power. See, what a great promise. God will work the same power in us that he worked when he raised Jesus from the dead as we believe. That's what that's saying. Go read that Ephesians 1 all the way, I think, starting in 16 all the way, all through the rest of the chapters. Really good scripture. So he's working the same power work of Jesus when he raised him from the dead, as we believe. And if it hasn't worked in you yet, keep expecting it to. Keep walking in the Word. All right? Keep overcoming sin. See, iniquities have turned away these things. And it talks about people that do all these different works of sins of the flesh. It said, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I forgot where that's at. Say they won't inherit the power working through them. Okay? But as you overcome sin, that power working you. You know, Jesus didn't have that power working in him until he got out of the wilderness. Then look at the works he did. Look at all the works he did. Turn the water into wine. That was the first miracle he did in Cana of Galilee. He cast out devils. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. And now look what he said in John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. See, we can do the same works Jesus did. Why? Because he did it as a man. It was the Father doing the works. He said it. I forgot where it was. He says, the Father that doeth the works. And Jesus emptied himself of his godly authority and power. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He took upon flesh and blood. He walked as a man. Okay. So he did all these works. It was God working through him as an example. So we can do it. And look what he said in Mark 16 after he was raised from the dead, what he said to the disciples. He said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Now remember, he had to go through the wilderness and then he did these works. So when he says go into all the world, preach the gospel, he's going to tell, he taught them how to walk. He taught them that they had to overcome and all these things. And then these works would work through them. All right. Okay. They shall take up service. They drink any deadly thing and shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord has spoken to them, he was received into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now look at this. And they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the words of signs follow. Let's read that verse 20 in the New Living Translation. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked through them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs. See, disciples preached the gospel. The Lord worked the power. You see that? All right. So in conclusion, I believe I've got, you know, all my teaching I got from the Lord by revelation. And I believe what I teach is sound doctrine, and it's worked in my life, but not to my satisfaction. All right. But I'm pressing on and I'm encouraging myself. I'm going to keep fighting to overcome all unbelief, keep putting to death the deeds of the flesh so I can be led by the Spirit more and more, keep overcoming all my iniquities so I can inherit the kingdom. And, you know, the Lord told me one time, I went to this one hotel in McKinney, Texas, and 3 days before the meeting, for the next meeting, the Lord said to me, I didn't send you just to teach my word, but to minister my power. See, that's what God wants. And I said, well, okay. And I went to the meeting and I told them what the Lord said to me. And just to show you that I heard the voice of God, I told the people, I said, hey, the Lord told me that he didn't send me here just to teach his word, but to minister his power. Now, there was another man out there ministering with me, and we'd already prayed and seek to minister God's power, but it wasn't flowing. But after God said that to me, obviously, I did what God said, and God confirmed the word. And so I went and told the people, I said, God, this is what God said. He told me he didn't send me here to preach the word only, but to minister his power. So I closed my Bible and I put it down. I said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And this other man and me, we started praying. The power of God broke out all over that hotel room, started ministering to people. It was very noticeable. And so these works work in us where to believe. These works are available to all believers. God wants these works. He wants them in everybody's individual life. I've had times where my children were sick and I'd pray for them and they would get healed. I've had times, sometimes it was little things like their stomach hurt. I'd pray for them. I said, are you okay now? Yeah, my stomach doesn't hurt anymore, Dad. Had times they were fear, broke the power of fear off them. Had times when they're oppressed to the devil, I break the power of the devil off them. They no longer were oppressed. And, you know, I've ministered to people. I've had time, one time I was standing by a person in church and I could tell they were oppressed to the devil. And I broke the power of the devil off them. I felt it, but I could discern that spirit lifted off them. You could tell they weren't oppressed no more. So this works. You don't want to be a Christian with no power. You don't want to be seeing people around you hurt. So, oh, I'll pray for you, but your prayers don't do anything. Oh yeah, you know, hear him all the time. Oh, I'll pray. I'm not saying this to put you down. I'm telling you, you don't want to stay there. Okay. You don't want to stay there. You want to be abiding in Christ, abiding in his word and prayed up so that when people are hurting, you can pray for them and minister to them. So that when people are pressed, you can pray for them, help them. When people are sick, you can help them. When your wife is sick or your husband is sick, you can pray for them and get that oppression off them. When your children are hurting, you can help them. When they're in danger, you can pray for them and watch God move mightily on their behalf. See, we don't want to be weak Christians that can't do anything. The best testimony you have is not talking about God. It's demonstrating the power. It's walking in the authority. It's being able to have someone that has the works of Jesus in their life, has someone that can walk in authority. You know, Jesus said, or what did they say about Jesus? Said that this man's words were with authority. You know, for even the unclean spirits obey him. See, and we have a big job to do. The world is in a big, big mess. And, you know, if preaching could save them alone without any power, without any works, without any faith, and all of a sudden, the world would have been saved 100 times over. I've been listening to preaching all my life. But you know what? I shared with you how preaching the law arouses sin. That's what we've seen a lot in our land. We've seen sin abound all over the place. Why? The preaching of the law, not the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit would have subdued people's iniquities. The ministry of the gospel, the power of God, would have set the people free. But we've had way too much ministry of the law, and any little bit is too much. And it shouldn't be any at all. I want to make that clear. And not ministering the Spirit and the power of God. Okay, that's all I've got. Well, I'll go ahead and give an invitation. If there's any person out there, you've never been saved, never been born again, same thing. It's an ongoing process. Salvation, I can clearly show you through the scripture, it's an ongoing process. And it said the Lord saved us by His mercy, by the washing of regeneration. The way God saves you is He spiritually regenerates you. Spiritually regenerates us. And that's an ongoing process. It's the same thing. And so it starts when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, He who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that work in us is to make us a new creature. You can see that we're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. Now, there's an example of being saved by grace. And what does it do? We are His workmanship. That's making a new creature out of you. So you get your eyes open and you'll see this. So if there's anybody out there that's never been saved, never been born again, this is your day. Just call upon the name of Jesus. And the work of salvation, the work of spiritual regeneration will begin in your life. And it starts by the Spirit of Christ will enter into you. And as you hold fast to the gospel, as you walk after the Spirit, because that's all you can do, you're not going to be able to just stop sinning after you see Jesus. But as you walk after the Spirit, you'll overcome. So say this prayer after me. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I just receive You right now. Say this prayer and mean it. You got to mean it. You got to want the Lord. Lord Jesus, I receive You right now as my Lord and Savior. I thank You that You died for me. You were buried and You were raised from the dead. If you meant that, if you said that prayer and you meant it, the Spirit of Christ has entered into you and you're ready to start walking with the Lord. That's all I've got for this podcast. God bless.
Hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water.